All right, we're going to move on to Roger Stone tonight and his appearance with us. Roger, welcome to the broadcast. Thank you for joining us. I don't think I'm hearing Roger. Is Roger with us? Hey, Roger. Hey, no, I got you now. Thank you, Roger. Were you able to hear any of that, by the way, Roger? What are your thoughts? What are your thoughts?
Compelling, to say the least. I mean, under 8 years of Barack Obama, the upper echelons of all our military services basically shed all of their non-globalists. So whether you were a Republican or maybe you were just a soldier who believed in doing things by the book, but you were non-political, you were cashiered, you were retired. The entire leadership of our military is woke today, and it shows. We're going to investigate our enlisted men and women, see if they believe in the Constitution, in which case they might be dangerous. And we're going to evidently compel them to have the COVID-19 shot, of which there are many, many legitimate questions regarding its safety or effectiveness. This seems to be like a suicide wish. Let me put it another way. We're going to assassinate our own standing army. Is that so the Chinese can just march right in? I mean, it really kind of boggles the mind.
Yeah, it does. Well, I did want your feedback. Now, you sent me a statement today, Roger. I don't know if you want to read it or you want me to read it.
Well, I mean, I think maybe behind the curve because Afghanistan is kind of eating up all the airtime. But basically, a group of left-wing smart-ass lawyers representing some members of the Capitol Hill police sued President Trump and basically every single person he ever met, including me, claiming that we are responsible for the violation of the civil rights and the endangerment of Capitol Hill police officers on January 6th. This is what they call lawfare. In other words, lawyers file frivolous complaints that have no legal merit. These are political statements, and it's harassment. I've already spent $3.5 million on lawyers. Another lawsuit doesn't really faze me. I already have 14 that were filed against me. Four of them have already been dismissed. They are all baseless. They are all harassment. But they know that it costs millions of dollars. And in the end, they also know this will go to trial in DC. So normally speaking, you would say the lawyers who filed this they have a Rule 11 violation. In other words, they have presented an argument to the court, which is clearly false. I never urged anyone to attack anyone else at the Capitol, not to mention a police officer. I never advocated violence or insurrection or illegality in any forum ever. So how am I responsible for what happened at the Capitol? Before, it was, of course, all guilt by association. Well, Stone met Jones, who knew Brown, who knew Smolowitz, and therefore Stone must be the mastermind of the whole thing. I've seen this movie before where the mainstream media grabs a narrative and they just repeat it endlessly. Like, I don't know, Roger Stone is a Russian spy who is collaborating with WikiLeaks and passed the stolen email on to the Trump campaign. The problem is that never happened and there is no evidence to support that narrative. But nonetheless, the New York Times, the Washington Post, CNN, MSNBC, and the rest of the fake news media repeat this narrative over and over again in an effort to make it true or to make it a self-fulfilling prophecy. It's the same thing you have now. In other words, I spoke in Washington on January 5th. You can go see my remarks. They're up on YouTube. No, I never advocated violence or insurrection or illegality. I've worked for 30 years in the vineyards of American politics. I believe in democratic elections. I'd like them to be free, fair, and transparent, but there's nothing in my speech that isn't covered by my First Amendment rights. We're now in a new phase in America in which thought crimes are illegal. In other words, if you think that maybe the 2020 vote count was not on the up and up, well, then you must be a domestic terrorist. If you think that the COVID-19 vaccination may not be effective and that lockdowns may do more damage than good, well, now the government says that makes you a domestic terrorist. No, that makes us concerned Americans. We're not advocating the overthrow of the system because we disagree with the policies. We're advocating reform and change of the system and reform or change of the political leadership in this country. But this is what I went through with Mueller. Criminalizing perfectly legal, constitutionally authorized political activism. Now suddenly that's a crime.
It's like something out of 1984, the book, right?
It really is, except for these lawyers know that they have a biased judiciary in D.C. They know that they have a highly politicized court. So, of course, that's where they'll bring the action. Believe me, if this case were heard in Oklahoma, it would be quickly dismissed because it's baseless. Nowhere am I aware of Donald Trump extorting anyone to violence. I certainly didn't. But, of course, there's also 40 or 50 other people who are being sued. I don't know of any of them advocating violence or lawlessness. It's harassment. I mean, haven't I been through enough? I lost my home, my car, my savings, my insurance. I was barred from making a living for 18 months by an unconstitutional gag imposed on me by the judge. And then as soon as I was pardoned, this fake January 6th narrative gets ramped up by my friends at ABC News. By the way, that's the most despicable crowd of distortionists you will ever meet. Man seen with Roger Stone indicted in January 6th, brouhaha. Unbelievable. People I've never heard of. My favorite one was one news outlet said that three guys, I think they were in the Oath Keepers, who did get charged, met with me on the 5th outside the Supreme Court. And then when I checked, evidently they were in a crowd of 500 people listening to a speech. But that qualifies as a meeting with Roger Stone. That's how dishonest these people are.
Are you, I'm sure you are by now, familiar with this letter that came out yesterday, August 25th, from, let's see here, the guy's name is Benny, what is his name? Benny Thompson. He's chairman of the Select Committee. I don't know if you can show, give me a thumbs up if you got the screenshot on this. Select Committee to Investigate January 6th Attack on the United States Capitol, dated August 25th, 2021, by the chairman, Benny G. Thompson. At the top of the letterhead on the left, we see Zoe Lofgren, Adam Schiff, you know, all these different people are listed as being a part of this. And I guess they're going to investigate this quote, January 6th attack, even though the FBI has come out with Reuters and declared that, you know, there is no evidence this was a coordinated effort by anyone on the right or Trump supporters or anyone, period. But this is being written to the archivist of the United States, the Honorable David S. Ferriero, and apparently they're wanting all the communications that the White House might have had that are now archived by the record keeper there, and they're wanting them by September 9th, 2021. Well, as I start going through this letter, which is many pages, I happen to see your name. I even happen to see the name on page nine. Let's go down there, scroll that page nine. There's your name, by the way. I saw your name go scrolling by. Where did it go? I just saw it here. Let's see.
There it is, right there.
There it is. Right. Roger Stone, George Flynn goes on from there. I saw Michael Flynn, General Flynn's name earlier, but page 9.5, Mike Lindell. Again, he had nothing to do with this, but they're wanting to know about any communications related to the issue of election, the challenging the validity of the 2020 election. Now, I guess now authorizes Congress to start investigating you related to January 6th. What one has to do with the other? Because he didn't even get his information about the election and whatnot until January 9th. So again, I don't know how it is they're gonna claim something for January 6th. Are you familiar with this letter, by the way?
Yes, I am. There are no communications regarding me and those matters with anyone at the White House, so that's a dead end. But I have a suggestion for Benny. While he's at it, why doesn't he ask for the audio tapes of the transmission of law enforcement on January 6th? Why doesn't he ask for the 140 hours of video of what happened at the Capitol? Why doesn't the government release those? Why are they hiding them? If you want to look at who's running a cover-up, it's usually the guys who are withholding the release of public information. If you heard the audio track of all these coordinated law enforcement organizations, you'd learn an enormous amount about what happened that day, which occurs to me also that the lawsuit filed on behalf of certain Capitol Hill officers claiming that we violated their civil rights, or we conspired to violate the civil rights. Well, there is no conspiracy. And we certainly didn't advocate violence upon them or anything of the kind. But they have now created a forum in which the chief of the Capitol Hill Police can be put on the stand and questioned without limitation about January 6th. The FBI director, I hope he's warming up for his testimony, because you can call him as well. They started a lawsuit which will open the can of worms that I don't think they want opened, because there are so many questions about the government's role, why we didn't have National Guardsmen, and so on. In fact, you could call Nancy Pelosi. Can you imagine playing rope-a-dope with that dummy on the stand? She'd trip all over herself because she can't keep her lies straight, particularly after a couple of cocktails.
Oh, yeah. So deposition could be fun, is what you're saying.
Well, I just think they've opened themselves up to it. It's kind of like the Dominion voting company who escaped public scrutiny of their activities in the courts and the state legislatures now file a lawsuit so their records can be subpoenaed and they can be deposed without limitation. Not too smart for guys who got away with murder already. It is ironic that while the lawyers who filed the suit against the president and me and almost everyone on that list that you just showed is also named in the lawsuit, they may actually believe in their heads that they have a real case because they are socialists. But legally, they don't have a leg to stand on. And they may have handed those who would like a further examination of the events of January 6th the golden opportunity to question a number of key government officials about what happened that day.
Why don't they sue their own fellow Capitol police officers who I have seen on video inviting people in and telling them, come on in, respect the property, apparently fist bumping, taking selfies, you know, pictures. I mean, why do these Capitol Police, they're supposedly behind this lawsuit, not sue their fellow Capitol Police officers for letting these people in the door and apparently encouraging it and taking part in it, and at least by selfies and backslaps and pictures?
Well, if you look at the lawsuit, I think the progenitors are not the police officers themselves. That's the ingenious idea of some smart-ass lawyer. I was sued twice in two different civil suits by Obama-related, you know, lawfare groups prior to my trial with Mueller. Both of them were dismissed because there simply is no evidence whatsoever that I colluded with the Russians or WikiLeaks or Julian Assange. It's a loser. And when we went to court, you know what their evidence was? Newspaper clippings, media stories that were inaccurate, but they pointed to those as proof. Well, if CNN says it, they say it, surely it must be true. That's why their cases were dismissed. They had nothing, and they have nothing here either. Donald Trump to my knowledge, and I certainly wasn't involved in any effort to limit the civil rights of anyone, and we most certainly didn't urge that police officers be put in harm's way. It's nonsensical.
In the closing minutes, I'll ask the audience to get a pen and paper to collect the various websites that Roger Stone has if you'd like to visit them. Here's a few, so you might want to get a pen and paper or your iPhone or smartphone out to take them down. And while you're doing that, any thoughts on the heartbreaking situation occurring in Afghanistan today with the loss of 12 U.S. military people so far? Again, we're praying that number doesn't go up due to the injuries of those, because we understand there are some serious injuries from those that have been injured, but we've already lost 12, I think 11 Marines and one Navy corpsman.
This is really, truly heartbreaking. This is the greatest foreign policy fiasco in our country's history. And it has to do with the execution of the policy. In other words, I think President Biden, like President Trump, was correct to withdraw our troops from Afghanistan. This was a Trump campaign issue. It's one of the major issues that got Trump elected. His pledge to the American people that we were not going to lose blood and treasure in any more endless foreign wars where our national interests were not clear. So it wasn't withdrawing the troops that was an error, it was the manner in which it was done. President Trump And ironically, Barack Obama made wide use of strategic drone attacks, guided obviously by sophisticated technology, to pin down the Taliban and other countries, the Islamic radicals. It is kind of military 101 that you cover your retreat, but we didn't do that. In fact, the drone strikes ended when Joe Biden became president. That's why they were emboldened, because the heat was off. There was no pressure on them. And they popped out of their foxholes more confident they weren't going to get hit by a drone. This is a typical the policy of weakness that Biden has demonstrated in every foreign policy realm. It's why the Iranians are raining missiles on Israel. It's why the Russians had the audacity to hack our biggest pipeline. It's why the Chinese are threatening our ships in the South China Seas. It's why the Russians are massed on the border. They have troops on the border of Crimea. It's why the North Koreans have restarted their nuclear weapons program. They can tell Joe Biden's a chump and that they can push him around and he won't do anything. Today, he says he's going to hunt these people down. I don't think so, unfortunately.
Yeah, unfortunately not. Roger, sorry you're going through yet another trial in your life. This is ridiculous, to say the least. How can people help you out?
Well, my lawyer, my personal family lawyer, who has been with me through this entire 2.5 year odyssey, was very upset this morning because he said this is easily $250,000 to $350,000 in additional legal fees to fight this bogus lawsuit in D.C. Plus, I have to pay for security when I go there for trial because it's a very dangerous place if you're Roger Stone. This is what I meant when I said it's lawfare. It's harassment. They understand the financial cost. So people can go to stonedefensefund.com, stonedefensefund.com, because I'm going to need good lawyering for this case. I also have, as you know, at this point, I believe 11 other existing frivolous, baseless harassment lawsuits filed against me. And I have to defend those as well, regardless of how meritless they may be. You still have to post. You still have to offer a vigorous defense. That means lawyers, and lawyers cost money. And then, as you know, Mrs. Stone, my life's partner of 30 years, my rock during the entire Mueller witch hunt, the woman who said, don't listen to these guys when they offer you some kind of deal. Tell them to go to hell. And she was right. And I'm glad that I did. No, I would not trade a vague promise of leniency for false testimony against Donald Trump. Look carefully. Do you see Michael Cohen in that lens? No, you got the wrong guy. So Mrs. Stone is a fighter, but it is shocking that out of the blue, she's diagnosed with stage 4 non-Hodgkin's lymphoma only about 2 months ago. And most of the therapies that my research tells me are most effective against cancer. Natural homeopathic, holistic treatments, mega vitamin infusions given intravenously, THC and CBD therapy. These things are very expensive and they are not covered by what little insurance we have left. Of course, she has Medicaid, which is helpful. So the old medicine is not completely without value, but she has set on a course that is a mix of modern medicine, but a real effort to boost her own natural immunity. You see, chemotherapy and radiation cannot kill cancer. They can only knock it back. Your own natural immunity has to kill the cancer stem cells for you to survive. And it can be done, and it has been done. But there are natural therapies that help you do that. And of course, the current medical establishment just poo-poos all that. If it isn't chemotherapy and radiation, it isn't on their dance card. And that's a huge mistake. So she's in great spirits. This fight is incredibly expensive. But I do think she will prevail. She is waging a medicinal and spiritual fight against cancer. And you can help her by going to the StoneFamilyFund.com, StoneFamilyFund.com. I had hoped to close these entities after my pardon. I didn't want to pay another lawyer as long as I lived. I didn't want to have to go to the American people and say, look, they've bankrupted us. We came out of the pardon battered, tired, exhausted, but victorious. And because of the epic deplatforming and the censorship, and Mike Lindell knows more about this than anyone alive, they've made it very difficult for us to get back on our feet financially. First, I had the gag, so I couldn't write or speak. So if you invited me to come on a show, I couldn't do it. And then what's your outlet? I mean, I had 3 million followers between Facebook and Twitter, gone like that, based on nothingness, based on the report of some research organization financed by George Soros that claimed falsely that I had 100 Facebook pages, which is a lie. I never even had one fake Facebook page. But on the basis of that, I am banned for life. I had a page for each one of my 5 books, plus a page for thestonecoldtruth.com, which is my main political blog, and also a page for Stone on Style, my men's style blog. Nothing fake about those. My name was associated with every one of them. So the deplatforming, they tried to do the full Laura Loomer on me, to be honest with you. The effort to just silence you, to cancel you, has been a huge fight.
So give those websites one more time, Roger.
Yes. So if you want to help me in the epic fight with the deep state over these lawsuits, in which I'm simply being harassed along with President Trump, you can go to stonedefensefund.com. I'm going to end up having to raise another $1 million to pay lawyers just to defend myself from meritless and baseless suits. And then if you want to help our family and Mrs. Stone at this time of crisis, you can go to stonefamilyfund.com. Mrs. Stone will be most grateful. And we appreciate your prayers as well as your dollars.
Thank you for checking in again and letting us know about this today, Roger.
Happy to do it. This is a big, big story. But it's very interesting that in the story by Reuters last week, in which they confirmed that there was no evidence against Alex Jones or myself regarding January 6th, they did say there was one minor militia operation that was somewhat coordinated. Yet the one name that is missing from everyone who was sued and everyone who was named in that House letter is Stuart Rhodes, the head of the Oath Keepers. I found that very curious.
Wow. And I think I know exactly what you're saying. Wow. Keep us
posted. I'm not saying anything. I just think it's very curious.
Okay. Keep us posted, will you?
Absolutely. Thank you very much for having me back. And I just want to thank literally the millions of Americans who have supported me, my family, and my wife in this epic 2.5 year struggle for my freedom and for justice. God bless you and keep you, because you were there for us and we will never forget it.
And I've got your book coming on the JFK assassination. I'm going to read it, mark it up, and we're going to have a conversation just about that one night real soon, all right?
I look forward to it. Interestingly, tomorrow, August 27th, is Lyndon Baines Johnson's birthday. It's also my birthday.
Well, happy birthday, Roger.
Thank you. I'm 69 years old, or I will be.
I wouldn't have guessed that.
But in any event, if you have not read The Man Who Killed Kennedy, The Case Against LBJ, it's my first book. I took it to 6 publishers. They all said, this has no commercial value. No one will ever read this. It was a New York Times bestseller. It would have sent my grandchildren to college if I didn't have to spend that money on lawyers to defend myself in the Mueller investigation. Mm.
I knew you were going to say it sold like crazy. You know, publishers say it won't sell. It becomes a bestseller. I knew that's the case. But I'm going to read it, have you on, and we're going to have a great conversation about that book.
Well, I think you'll enjoy it, because I use a combination of eyewitness evidence, fingerprint evidence, and deep Texas politics to make the case that LBJ is the man with the motive, the means, and the opportunity to kill his predecessor, John Kennedy. I'm not an attorney, but I make my case, I think, pretty comprehensively. And I think you'll enjoy the book, because it reads kind of like a murder mystery, which is what it is.
I know I'll enjoy it. I look forward to talking to you about it on air.
Many thanks.
Thank you, Roger.